Blog Talk Radio.
Where would I go without your hand holding me? And how could I live without you? I can't see. Lord, what would I do in life? Where would I go now? How would I handle things? All that I know is I'm mine again. Lord, I fall so short. You know it's all my end, Lord, from the
good evening. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio Show, our show for this evening, June 20th, 2017. I'm glad you've joined in tonight. My name is Sheila Coley, and I'm standing in for our director, Mary Hollis. It's election night, and she is working the polls, the election polls, that is. And so we are gracious enough to, and honored enough to cover this talk show for her tonight. So who are we? We are the Next Chapter Widows Ministry, a faith-based support group that has encouraged widows and helped them heal in the years after the loss of their husband. We've been around for 13 years. What a traumatic and even scary feeling the new widow experiences. So many questions. You know, premarital counseling never prepared any of us for those lonely nights, our heartaches, and those many decisions that we have to make after the loss of a husband. It doesn't matter whether you were married for a very long time or a very short period of time. It doesn't matter whether the loss was from a long illness or an unexpected accident or how much money is or is not in the bank. What matters most is that the person that you were married to, that you shared secrets with, that you made love with, laughed with, even been angry with, and a host of other scenarios is no longer here. The Next Chapter gives widows a unique connection with others who understand why his clothes are still in the closet, even though he's been gone a long time now. Those we understand why his name is still maybe on the bank account and why grocery shopping may still be difficult. It may be still difficult to go down the ice cream aisle and bypass his favorite flavor. Widows are so loved. God has a special plan to care for all the widows. In his word in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3, it says, honor widows that are widows indeed. And that's what the next chapter is here to do, is to honor widows. Now, we want to take a look back at Father's Day. We had an event the Saturday before Father's Day. It was a panel discussion, and five of our widows got together, and they were the panelists for the event. And people got to ask questions about things that still concern them or their family members during their experiences as a widow. And it was really exciting. Our panelists are all authors of our recently released book called A Widow's Touch. We encourage you, if you don't have your copy, you go to Amazon.com and purchase your copy today. Amazon.com, and it is called A Widow's Touch. And Widow's Touch is a book for sharing words of encouragement. It's a book that has about 20-some widows that has shared their personal testimonies with you, some of their secrets, some of their deepest thoughts, some of their pain. But it also includes opportunities where they have rejoiced, they have crossed over, their tears have dried up, and they can share those experiences with you. And somewhere in that book, I'm sure you'll be able to identify it. But we don't know how you handle Father's Day, but we want to encourage you that, you know, someone said at the panel discussion, as much as we may miss our loved one, we certainly wouldn't want to go with them. So since the Lord has left us behind to do a great work because he's not finished with us, cherish the day of Father's Day, whether it's your father that's passed or your spouse that has passed. Cherish the moments that you had with them. And as the name of our organization goes, the next chapter, be willing to turn to the next chapter in God's in your life, because God has something very special for you, which is really what we're going to talk about this evening for just a few minutes. There is a book that I pulled off of my bookshelf. I hadn't read it in a while, but I've read it a couple of times. Most of us may have heard of it. The author is Rick Warren, and it is called The Purpose-Driven Life. And it has a subtitle that says, What on Earth Am I Here For? And I think about one of the things that many of the widows share so much about is, why did God leave me here? Why am I in this situation? What am I supposed to do now? Because having served in the role as a wife, sometimes you may feel like you're not as needed, you're not as wanted. If you have adult children, you may be in the house all alone now. And so we want to encourage you to pick up that book as well. Somebody you know may just have a copy, and you can just borrow it. And you may want to read it a little bit to see what it is that you're saying. How many times have you said, I don't know what I'm here for. I don't even know what my purpose is. Let's not confuse your purpose with the things that you do. You may grocery shop, clean the house. You may have a job. You may belong to organizations and do great things in your community, but that's not necessarily your purpose. So I'm just going to share with you some highlights from this book. When I opened the cover of the book, there is the table of contents in here, and as I reviewed that, I was like, this is pretty good. He has five purposes that we want to share. But before we get into those five purposes, the very first thing he talks about is it all starts with God. So when we think about what our purpose is, we have to go back to our Creator who created us, and it all starts with God. And we have to remember that we're not an accident. It doesn't matter what your mom and your daddy said, whether they planned you or didn't plan you, God certainly had a plan for you. And so the other question Rick Warren asks in the book is, what drives your life? Is it God that drives your life, or is it the people in your life that drives your life? Does money drive your life? Does high goals drive your life? So you have to think about, what is it that's really got me moving here? Then we have to see life from God's view. Now, that's a toughie. You know, when I just think about how I look at life, it's so much depends upon what I think, how I feel. And we're being challenged here that we need to see God, see our life from how God sees it. How can we have God's eyes? Then we have to remember this very important thing. Life is a temporary assignment. This must be book club night because I'm thinking of another book I read called Rules of Engagement. Can't remember the lady who authored the book right now. Her name will come to my Cindy Trim, I think that's her name, if I'm remembering correctly. She talks about we're just ambassadors. We are, heaven is our home, and we've been placed on this earth for a short time to be ambassadors. We cannot make this our home. So when widows have lost their husbands, hopefully if they were saved, have gone back home. They didn't leave us here. They went home. And so that's what we have to remember. There are some times that we think this is our permanent home, but it's not. And the end part of that first introduction is the reason for everything. There's a reason for everything. And sometimes when we wonder why a woman loses her husband, they might want to question God, and that's perfectly okay because one of the things we shared about on Saturday at the panel discussion is there were many women who had asked God, what on earth did you take my husband for and leave me here? Some said, and leave me here with little children. But they all got an answer to that question. So let's talk about those five purposes that God had for us. The purpose number one is you were planned for God's pleasure. Imagine that the great sovereign God created each one of us for his pleasure. We were made to worship him. And when we worship, that pleases God, that puts a smile on God's face. And we can actually become best friends with God. And we want to work daily on building and developing our friendship with God. So purpose number one is you were planned for God's pleasure. And I want you to get excited about that. We weren't planned for our husband's pleasure or our friend's pleasure or even our own personal pleasure, but for God's pleasure. Purpose number two says that we were formed for God's family. How exciting is that? I have brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. And when we meet each other, we have kindred spirits. Have you ever been in the grocery store or in a line or waiting in the waiting room at a doctor's office and you just strike up a conversation with somebody and you find out we're just having such a wonderful conversation. If you keep talking, you just may find out that that is either your brother or sister in Christ. Because we were formed to be all part of a family. We have some place we belong. We have some people that can encourage us when we are having difficult times. And they're also there to help restore us if we slip off by the wayside or we get a little distracted or we start doing things that we shouldn't do. Our family, our Christ sense of family, is there to help bring us back. Now, purpose number three is we were created to become like Christ. Sometimes when I'm out, my daughter and I are out, somebody will say, you all look alike. And I don't know that we actually look alike, but we certainly kind of take on some similar attributes. But wouldn't it be great if we were out somewhere and somebody says, you look like Christ? That would be such a wonderful testament to my belief system and my behavior and my character. So we were created to become more like Christ, to talk like Christ, to think like Christ, to behave like Christ. That's how we grow. And how do we do that? We do that through a process called transformation. And that's when we go through this metamorphosis and we start off in our walk with Christ one way, but through all of life's situations, circumstances, and experiences, God is working through us and in us to change us. We don't like being changed. I know I don't. I don't know about you, but change can be difficult. It can be hard. And we can resist that change, but you know God's going to win every time. So sometimes we should just surrender to God's will. It takes time for this transformation to take place. And not only does he transform us, but he transforms other people in our lives. So we want you to know that purpose number three is we were created to become like Christ. purpose number four is we were shaped for serving God. Now, everything I've been reading so far has not been about me. It has not been about the things I want to desire. It has been about God. So I think the heart of this book is really about my purpose. It's really tied to God. So purpose number four, you were shaped for serving God. So we want you to accept your assignment. God has given you gifts. He's given you talent. He's given you desires. And all those things he has given you is for the purpose of serving him. So you want to think like a servant and say, how Father, how Master, how God can I serve you best? I can serve you certainly in church, but I can also serve you in my home. I can serve you in my community. I can serve you just as I go along through my daily activities. While I'm driving, I can be kind to others. And so God wants to shape us for the purpose of serving him. And our fifth purpose is we were made for a mission. That's what we were made for. We were made to share our life message. And that's what A Widow's Touch is about. It's about us sharing our testimonies, our stories. If you're not an author in the book, then consider writing your own story. Even if it's not published, write your story because you certainly have one. You have a story of triumph and travail. You have seen God do some great things in your life, and then there's some areas in your life you're still struggling with. So put that on a paper, create your own story, because you were made for a mission. You can become a world-class Christian. How cool is that? You can get your life in balance, and you can live your life with purpose. You can smile every day. You can be excited. Going to sleep at night is designed to rest your body, but waking up in the morning is your opportunity to do it all over again. It's one more opportunity to fulfill the purpose that God has given you. So those are those five purposes. There are a few quotes I just want to read to you because I was going through the book. And I said, these are a few things I would really like to share with my listeners this evening. The first quote says, you weren't put on earth to be remembered. You were put here to prepare for eternity. And I got so tickled because I'd be thinking, I'm going to write my obituary because I want to know that these people are going to remember me in this particular kind of way. And even when widows try to remember their husbands, when we think about it, wow, maybe we should start remembering the people that we've lost by saying, how did they prepare for eternity while they were here? And after all of that preparation, they finally got to go home. So I wasn't put here to be remembered. I was put here to prepare for eternity. So how are you preparing yourself for eternity? Those are questions you should ask yourself. Here's another quote. Listen to this, and this one is pretty cool too. When you live in light of eternity, your values change. Now, I think about what's on my to-do list just for tomorrow. I got a little to-do list, all these things I want to do. And I went back and kind of reviewed the things I plan to do tomorrow. And this is confession time. I didn't think that there was one thing on that list that had anything to do with my eternity. It's all about my to-do of things I have to do today, things that's about my time here on earth. So I'm going to have to, before I go to bed tonight, I'm going to have to take a look and say, you know, what am I doing just preparing me for eternity? Because that will change all of the things that I think are so very important. And it'll make me rest better at night because when I go to bed at night and I think about all the things I didn't do, I can say, well, you know, Lord, none of that got me any closer to eternity, so it probably doesn't matter so very much. Here's another quote I'd like to share with you. Character is both developed and revealed by test. And all of life is a test. Not some of life, you hear that? But all of life is a test. So I think about all of the challenges that I've gone through, going through, will go through. It's a test. Now, I don't know about the test they have in schools, because it's pass or fail, and then we move on to the next course. But in God's classroom, you don't get to move on until you pass. So some of these tests I've been taking year after year after year. I'd be so glad when I finish so I can move on. So character is both developed and revealed by a test. What kind of character do you have? I still have a few more quotes left. Don't worry, I still got some. It might be just for you. If you haven't heard anything that benefits you yet, I have a few more left. The next one is your identity is in eternity and your homeland is in heaven. I'm going to say that again. Your identity is in eternity. It's not in your degrees. It's not in how much money you make. It's not in how successful your business is, where you live. You know, it's not in how well you have a manicure lawn. What's most important is your identity is in eternity. And my homeland is heaven. So the next time somebody asks me for my address, I'm just going to say heaven bound. I think then I'll have to come up with something more earthly. But that's where I live. I am a citizen of heaven. Life is just a temporary assignment. It's not permanent. So we have to stop living like this is our home. I have two more left. Don't leave me now. Don't leave me now. All right. The next one is living for God's glory is the greatest achievement we can accomplish with our lives. And I think when I go places or when you go places, sometimes you have to introduce yourself. They'll say, stand up and tell us a little something about you. And we stand up and we talk about we're a mom, how long you was married, where you work, where you live, all of those things. But living for God's glory is the greatest achievement. So next time you get the opportunity to introduce yourself, try saying that I live for God's glory. That's one of the greatest achievements that you can make in your lifetime. A great line to have in your obituary. A great sentence to put on your resume, because truly that is why we are here. And my last quote for this evening is, Jesus will give you everything you need to live for him. So if there's anything that you think you need, or you want and you don't have it, it's probably because Jesus doesn't think you need it, because it says that he will give it to us if we need it. But we must be needing things for his benefit, not always for our benefit, but for his. So Jesus will give you everything you will need to live for him. So as we think about living for him and doing his work, and honoring God in all that we do, and living each day to the fullest, living out our purpose, because God did not choose to take you. He took your spouse or your other loved one. And so since we are here, we want you to be in prayer and ask God to show you your purpose, show you your meaning in life, and find joy in that, because that is a blessed thing. Romans 11, verse 36 says, for everything comes from God alone. Everything lives by his power, and everything is for his glory. And so that concludes the information that we have for you tonight, the snippets of encouragement that we wanted to drop in your spirit, and hopefully that seed will be planted and it will grow over the days, weeks, and years to come. And when you're feeling just a little discouraged, hopefully there's just at least one sentence that was shared with you this evening that you will use to make you feel so much better. In the way of announcements, the Next Chapter Widows Ministry has no events for the month of July. We are taking off, no meetings, no activities, no outings. We will resume our regular meetings in August. That would be the third Saturday in August. If you are interested in participating in the Next Chapter Widows Ministry, you can call our director, Mary Hollis. You can reach her at area code 770-981-9118. Let me repeat that again. You can reach Mary Hollis, H-O-L-L-I-S, our director of the Next Chapter Widows Ministry at 770-981-9118. or you can reach us by email at TNC, T as in Tom, N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie, Widows, with an S on the end, at gmail.com. That's our contact information. And once again, feel free to purchase our book, A Widow's Touch, from Amazon.com. And I just want to share this with you as I close out. For the nearly 700,000 women, that's a lot of women, who lose their husband each year, our recently released book can be a source of comfort. Readers can enjoy the journey with the writers as they share loneliness, frustration, confusion, and victorious moments. A journey of faith dries the tears and turns grief to joy. Get your copy from Amazon.com. We meet monthly in the Metro Atlanta area, so if you're in Metro Atlanta, you're more than welcome to join us. If you're outside of the area, you can always tune in every Tuesday evening from 10 to 10:30 for our Blog Talk Radio show. We also have annual getaways. We serve community. We celebrate special occasions. And Mary and Sheila, myself, we are the co-founders. And we're available for speaking engagements, workshops, and book signings. Thank you so much for tuning in. We invite you back next week, same time, same channel. Have a great evening. We love you.
There was a time I truly believed that I could do it on my own. But all that I found at the end of that road is that concept for me was all wrong. But I found a savior who turned me around.